I was having fun watching Henry, y'all. He was worshiping with me. He was raising his hands. He was having fun. Yeah. We can't sing. We can raise our hands. That's right. We can clap our hands. We can even dance if we want to. So, little children shall lead them. That's what it says in the Psalms. And that's precious. And may we, Jesus said we need to become like a child. That's right. So, no inhibitions, and that's good. Prayer this morning. I had announced before the service that Bonnie Williams, we've been praying for Bonnie, and in Scripture, there are some healings that are instantaneous, but also there are some healings that are a process. If it's instantaneous, we say it's a miracle, but a healing, sometimes there's a process to it. And she has a marker when she had her tests that only 1 to 2% of lung cancers have, and it's 85% rate of healing in that. And so that is good, you all, as we've been praying for Bonnie. And so we're going to continue prayers in that. And I had a childhood friend, Jill, who her son passed away suddenly this week. And so I'd appreciate prayers for my friend Jill as well. So, Lord, we bless you and we honor you. Lord, your word says, let the little children shall lead them. And, Lord, we thank you for worship. Lord, your word says that if we don't worship, the rocks are going to cry out. And so, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of all of our praise. Exuberant worship. Holy is the Lord Most High. And so we bless you and we honor you, Lord. You are worthy and you are high and you are lifted up. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We've been praying for healing. We've been praying for a good report for Bonnie. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the good reports that she's received. And Lord, I ask you to touch her. Lord, we know that even now you could touch her and raise her up instantaneously. And so, Lord, we pray healing for Bonnie in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you're sustaining as they drain the fluid off every week. And often that's painful. Lord, I pray that you would just touch and heal the pain. And Lord, the fluid that's gathering in her lungs, Lord, we just pray that it would cease and stop. And Lord, we just ask healing to come on Bonnie. Pray, Father, for my friend Jill and her family, Lord, grieving the loss of a son. And Lord, there are some in our congregation that know what that feels like. And Lord, thank you that you're the God of all comfort, that you're the Father of compassion. And so, Lord, we just pray comfort for Jill and her family in the name of Jesus. And Lord, all who are grieving and mourning this morning, we just pray just the Comforter would come and surround them with your peace and your healing and your mercy. We pray, Father, for Shirley Burmeister with COVID. We thank you, Jesus, that she hasn't had any symptoms that I'm aware of. And Lord, we just pray that your healing and sustaining grace on Shirley in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Pam's niece, Darby. Lord, some stomach issues. Jesus, we ask healing, peace to her system in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Kathy and Liburn Beard as they travel up to Minnesota today. Lord Jesus, we pray protection. We pray, Father, for a cure. We pray healing on Librand, that the doctors would have wisdom, that Librand would be cooperative, and, Lord, that you would just bless and heal. We ask healing and restoration. We thank you, Lord, for Stephen Still and his brother, the bone marrow transplant, Lord, that's working on Shannon. And, Lord, we just give you all glory, all honor, and praise for your healing that's being exhibited in Shannon's life. And we give you just, we praise you, Jesus. We pray for Lori that has broken vertebrae. And Jesus, we ask healing. We pray, Lord, no lingering effects, no paralysis. And Lord, healing on Lori in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for a neighbor, Lord, that's having seizures. We ask peace, healing to the nervous system. We pray, Father, for Mike Travelstead. God, your peace would be upon him. And Lord, those that are shut in, Lord, those that are suffering, those, Lord, with long-standing illnesses, chronic things, Lord, we ask your healing. We ask your comfort. We ask your peace. We thank you that the Comforter has indeed come. We thank you that the Son of Righteousness, as Malachi prophesied, has said, sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Lord, that's one of those beautiful, great, and precious promises. And we thank you for the sun of righteousness that has healing in his wings. And so, Lord, we just release healing virtue over everybody right now that's suffering, over everybody that's in pain, over everybody whose heart is broken, who's everybody whose mind is filled with anxiety and fear. We just ask the shalom of God to come. Holy Spirit, come and minister to your people. Comfort your people. Heal your people. Shepherd your people. Lord, those that need direction, Lord, we ask you to bless and to lead and to guide, to give wisdom and discernment. We thank you for the promise in James, Lord, that you promise that if we ask for wisdom, you will give it to us without finding fault. And so, Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask for your leading. We ask for your guiding. We pray, Lord, for our nation. We ask for mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us, your people. Have mercy on us as a nation. Have mercy on our leaders. Bless them. Help them. Lead them. Pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We pray you bless them. We pray you bless the givers. And we offer it all up as worship unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you to forever live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow? Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, down from your throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow? Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at your crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see your blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, before you, I patiently wait. Come now, and within me, a new heart create. To those who have sought you, you never said no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow? Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. To those who have sought you, you never said no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you're gracious, that you're kind, that you're compassionate. To those that have sought you, Lord, you never said no. All we have to do is come. You are so good. You are so gracious. And you are so kind. We thank you that you came as a baby. You came as a humble servant. But you're coming again in great fire and in great glory. Lord, I pray we would be ready when you come. Lord, you know the distractions that I've had this week. And Lord, I pray today that in my weakness that you would be strong. Lord, you know that I can't do this. You know that. And Lord, this is your word, and these are your people. So Holy Spirit, I pray you would come and feed. Feed your people. Pray you would anoint me, that you would give me courage, you would give me boldness, you would give clarity of mind, words to say beyond the sacred page, Holy One of Israel, that we would encounter you. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing this morning on 2 Peter 1:4, I've lost count how many weeks we've been here. Last week I talked about, there are three beautiful promises that are in verses 3 and 4. And God's divine power, his divine power as creator, his divine power as redeemer. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Not some things we need, but everything we need for life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he's granted to us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. We've talked a lot about that. We've talked a lot. His divine power, his divine promises, and we are divine partakers. One of the things I didn't have time, I was going to just brush by this, but I didn't have time last week, but it's so important, and the Lord prompted me this week to go back and read 1 Peter. This is Peter's second letter, and he's like, go back and read 1 Peter, and I did that. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. And verse 4, if you could sum up three quarters of his entire first letter, it's found in verse 4. having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Do we just have divine power within us? Do we have the Bible? Do we have this divine interchange between God so that we can just go and do whatever we want to do? And it's like, hey, God, see ya. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Bye. I'm going to go do what I want to do now. I'm going to live exactly like the world. No. So that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. As I've meditated on that and in Chuck read some of those, there is a consistent theme in 1 Peter. We're going to revisit some of that later. But he quotes the Old Testament. And there are some today that would teach the Old Testament is obsolete. And they divide the Old Testament and the New Testament. But Jesus says, I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. And when there are themes that are repeated in the Bible, in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant, we need to pay attention to that. In Peter, in 1 Peter, he says, he's quoting the Old Testament. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that old-fashioned? Is that not politically correct? Be ye holy, for I am holy. I want us to look, second part of verse 4. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. What are the nuances of the word escape in verse 4? Nuances of that word, it means to escape. It means to be set free from. It means that we've not only escaped it, but it's like a snare, and God's come and he's rescued us, and he's set us free. He has set us free from the corruption. You can also translate that word from the destruction that is in the world because of sinful desires. That word for sinful desires, anybody have their Bible open or their phone, Bible on their phone? There are other translations of that word because it's translated different ways, and it's really hard to just pick one of them. Bible scholars, translators have to do that, but it's really difficult. Sinful desires, does anybody else have another translation they're looking at they want to share this morning? You can translate it lust. You can translate it passions. And it has to do with, like, just sinful, lustful desires. Sexual immorality, greed, just the, you know, longings. And we become divine partakers, having escaped or set free from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires, because of lusts, because of evil pursuits, evil desires. It's an incredibly profound thought. And again, that's not isolated. That is not isolated in the Bible. Is it? I want us to look back. I want us to spend some time here because, again, when themes are repeated in the Bible, we need to pay attention to it, especially when you put it in context of what Peter is talking about. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go back and let's look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Lord, help me. I had this problem last week. I think I have too many scriptures up here because I'd lose it. There it is. Leviticus 11, 44 through 45. For I am the Lord. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves, for I am the Lord, brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. There it is, Leviticus 11. And it's a theme that's repeated throughout the Old Testament. Was God just being mean? He's like, I don't want you all to have fun. I'm going to take away. I just don't want you to do that. No. No. Be holy because I am holy. The word holy can mean to be consecrated, to be set apart. Do any of you ladies have special dishes that you only get out for special occasions. Those are dishes that are set apart, right? And when God was, they were making the utensils that were to be in the tent of meeting and in the temple, God repeatedly said, these are to be set apart. These are not to be for everyday use because it's to honor the Lord. So it's to be set apart to be holy. Leviticus 22:32. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified. And that word for sanctified is the same word for holy. It's the verb to be holy. It's really hard to translate that into English. So you could translate that, and you shall not profane my sanctified name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So he's saying, I want you to be different. I am holy. I want you to be set apart. I want you to be set apart for me. And you think about the Ten Commandments, and there are two in particular having to do with God that fit this theme of holiness. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. And he said, you shall not take my name in vain. What's he saying? It's coming out of who he is. He's holy. And so we just don't want to be flippant in saying God's name. This may sound like I'm being legalistic, and I'm not. I'm not, y'all. But I want you to think about when you go to Isaiah chapter 6, when you look at Revelation chapter 4, the song that's repeated around the throne, again, it's in the Old Testament, Isaiah 6, and it's repeated in Revelation 4. Doesn't change. God doesn't change. What are the angels singing right now, day and night? They never stop saying, holy, 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 holy. The psalmist repeatedly talks about worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, in the beauty of his holiness. What is it about the holiness of God that's beautiful? We have lost the fear of God in the church. No wonder our nation is in the state that it's in. It's because us as a people, we don't honor his holy name. We don't fear his holy name. As I've meditated over, and this has been going on for me for a few years, but when I hear people use the word holy and then put an adjective, holy cow is a nice one, holy whatever, fill in the blank, that makes me cringe. Because only God is holy. We're taking his name in vain. We're blaspheming his name, you all, when we do that. Because only God is holy. That's to be set apart for him. When we say holy cow, you know what we're doing? What did the children of Israel make when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments? They made a golden calf. Whoa! Whoa! Holy cow? No! That is not a good word. That is not a good thing. That should not come out of our mouth because we want to revere God. Worship unto him. Holy unto him. Only he is holy. Only he is worthy. Command, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God made a people, the children of Israel. And what was his injunction to them? What did he call them? He called them out so they could do what they wanted, so they could be like the nations around them, so they could just have fun and games and have all kinds of sexual revelries and drunkenness and all of that. Is that what God set them apart to do and be? No. No. God's intent for Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. He loved them, and he wanted them to be like him. I made you to be my treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, God's saying, I called you. You're my treasured possession. You're to be holy unto me. And he repeats it, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For you are a people holy, set apart, sanctified to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. He repeats it. It's a beautiful promise. When we repeat something, it's important. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Leviticus 20, verse 26. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. God gave them the law. He gave them the Ten Commandments because he said, I am holy. I want you to be different. I don't want you to be like the people around you. I want you to set the standard. I want you to be moral people. I want you to be holy people. I want you to look like me. I want you to talk like me. I want you to act like me, not because I'm mean, but because I'm good and I'm holy, and I want you to shine to the nations. He set them apart. He set them apart. And the injunction to the priests was the same. I want to just read that because we're going to pick that up in 1 Peter. 1 Chronicles 23:13 says the priests were set apart. Aaron and his sons should forever make offerings before the Lord and minister to him. Leviticus 21, again, is talking about the priests. So you have the people that are to be holy, but then the priests were to, they were special. They were set apart. And God says concerning them in Leviticus 21, verse 6, they shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they offer the Lord's food offerings, the bread of their God. Therefore, they shall be holy. Did they live up to that? No. They repeatedly failed. And I want to read what God says about them when he brings them into judgment. The Assyrians came. Israel was wiped out. Judah lived for a while, but then Isaiah is prophesying, Jeremiah is prophesying, judgment's coming. You all have not, you're not obeying God's laws. And they mocked and they didn't know. We're God's chosen people. We're his treasured possession. God will never do that to us. And the Babylonians came and God's judgment came. What's he say? Bibles, I want you to turn there because there's some Ezekiel chapter 36. There's some scriptures that make me tremble, and this is one of them. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to start. I have in your notes verse 20, but I'm going to start. I was looking at this morning. I'm going to start back in 16. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through their countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. And that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord. And yet they had to go out of his land. This is God speaking. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. God called them to be set apart. God called them to be holy. God gave them, and they were no different than the people around them. And he continued. continues in verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness through their eyes. Woo! God says, you profaned my holy name, and I brought you into judgment because I'm going to vindicate my holy name. God takes holiness seriously because he is holy. And you're like, April, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. We live in grace now. Woo! And we do. We do. And yet the injunction is the same. God's standard did not change. Leviticus chapter 11, Exodus 28, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. As obedient children, 1 Peter 1, 14 through 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Peter is saying God's command hasn't changed. Be holy, for I am holy. And he says, you, that's us, you all, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are to demonstrate his power, his life, his holiness to those around us. You're like, April, I don't know about that. Think about, and I, not this past summer, but a year ago, so about a year and a half ago, when I preached through the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us to pray. And he says, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's not just a declaration. That's a passive participle. And we're saying, Lord, make your name holy. Make your name hallowed. Make your name be sanctified through us. What? When you pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, make your name, hallowed be your name. Make it holy through me. That's Jesus' intent for us. And the beautiful thing about the gospel, the beautiful thing about it is, when Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, did he make things easier? No. You've heard it said, don't murder. Well, I say to you, if you speak slanderous about somebody, you've murdered them in your heart. The law says, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at somebody with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery with them in your heart. Jesus takes the law and he makes it harder. What is he doing? For those of us that are arrogant and proud and think we've got it all together, Jesus is saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because all of us fall short. All of us are sinners. All of us are rebellious. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet Jesus, he ups the ante on the law, and then what does he do? Does he say, okay, now live up to it with a whip? Beats our hand with a ruler? Is that what he does? No. He says, I love you so much that I'm going to offer my body as a sacrifice for your sins, because I know you can't do it, and I know that I love you so much that I want to equip you. and he paid the penalty. He died on the cross. You all, he died on the cross not only to forgive us of our sins, but he died on the cross to give us grace to be holy. How are we able to do all of this? How is it possible? And it goes back to what I've been talking about. We are divine partakers. We participate in the divine nature. He knows we can't do it. He knows that we are weak. He knows that. But we come to him. We say, Jesus, I can't. Would you forgive me of my sins? Yes, he will. Jesus, I'm struggling in this area with my life. Lord, would you help me to overcome it? Yes, he will. There's grace. Grace is not passive. Grace is power. And next week we'll sing Amazing Grace, all right? Or we'll play Amazing Grace. But what's so amazing about grace is grace doesn't just save us. Grace sanctifies us. It makes us holy. I'm going to read you something powerful. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And you're like, well, but Paul said that we struggle and I do what I don't want to do. Yeah, he did. He did. But what does he say after that? Romans chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 15. This is Paul. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I hear that quoted. I hear people using that as an excuse. But what comes after that? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. First chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We are not slaves anymore. We've been rescued. We've been set free through the blood, through the death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There is power, you all, to live a godly life. Listen to Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The beautiful, beautiful promise. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. Because he lives in us and we live in him. You know what comes right after that really hard indictment in Ezekiel chapter 36? You profane my holy name among the nations. You know what comes right after that? Ezekiel 36, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Y'all, that's baptism. And you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. allows you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We cannot do it, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit that lives within us as we abide in him, as we take time to spend with him, and we shut out the distractions, and we participate in the divine nature. We commune with the Lord through his word. We commune with Holy Spirit. He's with us if we will just listen and take time and we participate in the divine nature. He's given us everything we need. Everything we need. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The fear of God is not in our land anymore. We can pray for our president. We can pray. We can pray, 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 pray. Intercede, pray for revival, all of that. But nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen until we ourselves say, Lord, take me, fill me, change my heart, make me holy, Lord, change my heart. And as we are changed, as the nation of Israel, and Jesus said this, he said, you're the light of the world. He said that about you. You're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. Fear of God is going to come on our land as we, the church, begin to tremble at his word, begin to bow before him, begin to worship him, and let him do what he wants in our lives, and let his Holy Spirit just continue to purify and cleanse us. It's only hope for our nation. Will we yield? Will we hear? Will we let him do what he wants to do in our heart and in our lives? Father, you're holy. You are holy. You are holy. The eternal song. When we see you face to face. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Lord, I pray you would clean us up. Lord, your word says it's out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Lord, I pray that our speech, you purify our heart. You purify our mouth. Lord, you know that we need a heart change. And I thank you for the promise in Ezekiel 36 that you promised to do that. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we've all fallen short, but I thank you that we can be whiter than snow. May we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. May we have eyes to see. May we have ears to hear. May we humble ourselves before you. May we repent and turn in this hour for the glory and honor in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus, led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. I know it's rather warm in here today, but I feel really strongly that we just need to be quiet for a moment. When we are saved and we are born again, the Bible says that we are holy and blameless. Something happens and immediately we're holy and blameless. That's when God looks at you, He sees you as holy and blameless. But as we journey with Jesus, He continues to purify our heart. So if you leave here condemned and you leave here ashamed and you are heavy, that is not my intent with this sermon. And so know that you are forgiven. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. His grace is always there. He comes running to us. But He wants access to our